Hello everyone, this is Alexander Betters of GalacticConnection.com, and today is December 2nd, 2014. We provide you 24/7, around the world, 7 days a week, posting of interviews and information that keeps you abreast of how the light is winning, how they are dominating the dark throughout the world. Please feel free to visit our site on a daily basis. You can sign up for our newsletter on the right-hand column. And we do survive off of donations, so please feel free to support us at this time. Now, with that said, I would like to provide you two links to two back-to-back interviews with Kevin Annett. My interviewing with him is going to become, I think, more numerous these days because there is so much exciting information going on. These two interviews are going to cover the Ninth Circle Rituals in Canada and the 12 Mile Club. Now, the reason this is such a big deal is because of the fact that testimony and evidence has been brought forth involving some very, very key players. You have the British Columbia Provincial Court Chief Justice Hugh Stansfield, Justice William Essen, Terrence Warren of the British Columbia Supreme Court, Gary Patterson of the United Church Clergy, and Brian Thorpe and John Jessamine of the National United Church. That's just in these last two interviews. This is a very big deal because it involves the judicial system within Canada and is really paving the way to putting the statute, the Roman law, in a checkmate situation. So please stay tuned. I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised. We have a lot of other information in there that has been included, and we will talk to you next week. Thank you for supporting myself, Galactic Connection, and all of our team. We love you. Take care. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Alexandra Metters of GalacticConnection.com, and I have an impromptu interview with Kevin Annett of ITCCS.org. If you have not read up on Kevin's background, please feel free to visit his website at itccs.org, and you will find some of the amazing heroic work that Kevin has done to bring out the exposure of the ritual sacrificing of children, especially through the Vatican and the other branches and factions that work with the Vatican and the Catholic Church throughout the world. Today we have some cutting-edge information and some late-breaking information, I should say. So I want to go ahead and just bring Kevin on. If you would like to read more about his bio, feel free to visit his site and read up on his bio. So, Kevin, tell us the latest.
Hi, Alexander.
It's good to talk to you. Tell us the latest that you just kind of dropped in everybody's lap tonight. I mean, it's pretty good news.
Well, there's lots of this news breaking recently, and it's because insiders in the church and government have been coming forward more with a lot of this information after years of publicizing it. So, the climate has shifted, and that's really helped. The latest news has to do with the operation of the Ninth Circle Catholic Sacrificial Cult. Now, this has been talked a lot about at our site, iccs.org, but this litigation takes place right here in Vancouver, involving what's known as the 12 Mile Club. Hmm. Now, this is the 12 Mile Club for Canada's territorial limit. Outside 12 miles, it's the open ocean. Essentially, what goes on is these child rapists take children out on yachts, do what they do to them, and then kill them and dump them overboard outside the 12 Mile limit. That's why it's referred to as that. Now, this isn't just hearsay. This is coming from the latest source is a member of the Holy Rosary Catholic Cathedral. He's an official inside the Archdiocese in Vancouver.
Wow.
He claims that he was at a meeting with now retired Archbishop Raymond Rusin. And I know this guy well because actually we occupied his church, me and a bunch of native survivors of the Indian Boys Schools. We went into his church several times on Sunday, occupied it, held protests. So he was very touchy about this, but it happened right about the same time. This insider says that at a meeting, Archbishop Raymond Rusin and one of the priests called Glenn Dion were talking to their lawyers about how to contain this information about the 12 Mile Club and their involvement in it, because they were worried that all the protesters, at the, reporters snooping around the story might cover this 12 Mile Club. Names that were mentioned at the meeting of other members of the 12 Mile Club included the Chief Justice of the British Columbia Provincial Court, a man called Hugh Stainsfield, who subsequently killed himself after it came out, or was killed, the same week that his being named for a child rape was killed, he died. Other justices of the Supreme Court, and what's very interesting, the guy who's now the moderator, the head official in the United Church of Canada, a guy called Gary Patterson. And they were all named as members of this 12 Mile Club. This is not the first time I've heard about this. There have been other people, including Jack Cran in Vancouver, who talked about judges involved in this group that worked out of the Vancouver Club. And he got put in a psych institute for it. They hospitalized him, stuck there for a while, and disbarred him for bringing that out in court. But anyway, this is an affirmation of things that have been known for a while, but this is coming from right within the church itself now.
Oh, my God. And so this just came out just recently, today. Did you just receive this information today?
I got the information yesterday from an inquiry that's been established here in Vancouver with the ITCCS. This insider in the church came to the inquiry. This fellow's actually known me for a few years. He's finally come out and this is kind of part B to the story. An announcement that actually came out on November 4th, which is even bigger. It involves a senior cabinet minister in the Canadian government, the right-hand man of Prime Minister Stephen Harper, a man called Denis Lebelle, who is the senior Quebec minister in the cabinet. He was present at a cult ritual sacrifice of children in Rome on February 22nd, according to an eyewitness. Now, he was there in Rome heading an official Canadian delegation to the Vatican to see a Quebec archbishop called Gerald Lacroix turned into a cardinal. And that same night after the ceremony, Lebelle and Lacroix were present at a ritual sex of a 5 or 6 year old boy. It occurred in the basement chambers of a Jesuit-run youth center about 2 blocks from the Vatican in the San Lorenzo Posibus Church in Rome. Now, the involvement of a politician like this is not unusual. We know from other interviews we've done at ITCCS.org, including a woman called Anne-Marie von Billenberg, who's a lawyer in Holland. She was present at some of these cult ritual sacrifices of the Ninth Circle. And she was brought there because she was a prominent lawyer in Holland. And they use it to blackmail people. They bring judges and politicians to these events, not telling them what's going to happen. And then when they see the child killed, they're then controlled and blackmailed with it and hand-forced to cooperate with not the Catholic Church, but this criminal syndicate, Drangheta, which is really the modern mafia. They do a lot of the human trafficking and drug trafficking, in the world. And the biggest criminal syndicate in Europe by far, they use this to control politicians and others. So this is clearly what went on, whether or not this government minister, Denis Lebelle, was already a member of the Ninth Circle. He was friends with this Cardinal Lacroix before then. We're not sure, but it's definitely going to be used to try to blackmail the entire Canadian government now, because this guy's a senior cabinet minister.
God. It shows me that you really made quite a bit of progress in bringing people to a point where they're not afraid to come forth with the information.
Yeah, that's true, Alexandra. The old saying is you got to lead by example. And I think over the years, even for many years, my efforts were very small scale and it seemed to be ineffective. When you're standing on truth, it has a momentum of its own and you have much more power than you realize, because the guilty know they're guilty and they overreact. They expose themselves. There's divisions within their ranks as well, and people come forward eventually as long as we're persistent. So I think it shows the power of the truth. It doesn't really matter about numbers. It's whether you're how faithful you are to that truth or not in getting it out.
Yeah, I totally agree. Now, you were mentioning the senior cabinet minister, and it had something to do with an ancient Roman festival of Feralia and Terminalia. Can you go into that a little bit?
Well, that we did some research, but also the eyewitness in Rome said that these were old rituals going back back to the time of the Roman Empire, thousands of years old, on February 21st and 22nd, they would have a ritual sacrifice of children and animals in as a way to honor their dead, their ancestors. It's when you look at it, these cults that the Catholic Church operates are very Roman. That it's another example of how it's continuation of the Roman Empire. Because February 22nd, or rather the 22nd day of the month, is often a Freemason rite as well. You'll see Masonic events and also satanic rituals often occur, and false flag events on the 22nd of a month. So, I think that's not unrelated as well.
Yeah, because of the numerology aspects of it, that's for sure. So, well, now tell us a little bit about just any updates you have on Pope Pishon. You know, anything going on that end? Good.
Because there's another thing. It's great minds think alike, right?
Yeah.
This hasn't come out yet, but you get to scoop this, Sandra. I hope you feel honored. I spoke to Anne-Marie von Billenberg yesterday. We haven't posted this interview yet, but she shared with me some more information about Pope Francis, Jorge Bergoglio, involving a woman who's the Queen of the Netherlands. She's the wife of King Willem Alexander, who has been named as being present at these ritual killings of children, including the human hunting parties that occur in the forests of Belgium and the Netherlands. This King Willem Alexander is married to a woman called Maxima Zorgieta. Now, she's an Argentine, and her family is close friends with the Pope. As a matter of fact, her father was the agriculture minister during the Argentine dictatorship of General Videla in the 1970s, the so-called dirty wars when over 30,000 people were murdered by the government. She claims in this interview, Maxima Zorriaga's father was good friends with Jorge Bergoglio when he was a cardinal, when the Pope was a cardinal in Argentina. And according to Anne-Marie von Billenberg, from her sources within these networks that operate in the Netherlands to provide children to the royal family, this Queen Maxima Zorgieta took €500,000, that's about $750,000, in a bribe to Cardinal Bergoglio, that is the Pope, in order to get her birth and baptismal certificates changed, because it turns out she was illegitimate. And to marry the King of Holland, she needed new ID. So she paid off the guy who became the Pope with about €500,000. Also, in the process, she admitted that Bergoglio had intimate knowledge of the murder and torture and disappearance of people during the late 1970s in Argentina, because he was good friends with Videla and the other generals in the junta. As a matter of fact, I'm sending you right now a link showing a picture of Jorge Bergoglio walking arm in arm, smiling with General Videla. It's right out there. And now the third thing she, Anne-Marie von Billenberg, told me was this Queen Maxima and King Willem Alexander regularly go into the courtrooms when child rapists who provide children for these rituals are being tried. They speak to the judge and they get the person off. The most recent example was this Robert Mikkelsen, who is one of the guys who provides children out of daycare centers in Holland for the royal family and others to use in their hunting parties, where they go and hunt children in the woods and kill them. Anne-Marie von Billenberg described it. So this tie between the Dutch royal family, the child murderers, Drangheta, and the present Pope, there's even more else now coming up of all that.
I think I'm just appalled, and I'm sure a lot of other people are, that finally some of these people at the very, very tip top are finally really getting caught with their pants down. It's long overdue, Kevin. It really is. Yeah, literally. Yeah, no kidding. God. So,
there's bigger going on in planetary consciousness, means people feel encouraged now to come forward.
And that's the best part of all. So if you're feeling this improvement for people to step forward and really take more of an active role, are you also having some more activity within ITCCS for people to take more of a voluntary position in assisting you?
Yeah, well, we're encouraging that all the time. We're urging people to go from simply sharing the information to taking action in their communities. One of the ways we're doing that is doing the common law sheriff training, which is happening now in a number of different countries. There's groups that are serving the warrants. They're trying to make citizen arrests on, you know, child rapists that they know operating in their community. That's kind of one level.
Good.
But, you know, it also has to do with kind of breaking those mental shackles that make people think, well, we can't do anything until the police or the politicians get on board. We show that the way for anybody honest in the system to get on board is when we lead them. That tends to be what happens. So we just have to take action for ourselves.
I think you made the most perfect statement just there, which is we have to become the leaders instead of waiting for someone else to take the action. And so much of that is all about us being in this mind-controlled program of we have to follow, we have to be told what to do, and that kind of thing. So this is just such a great piece of it. I mean, people really should be enthused by this news, especially because there's all these other little factions popping up, like the 12 Mile Club. I mean, are you aware of them?
Yeah. Well, you know, I got my start in the ministry during the 1980s in Vancouver, and I did a lot of street work there as a social worker and then as a clergyman. One thing we heard about, it wasn't called the 12 Mile Club back then. It was called the Star Chamber. And it operated out of the Vancouver Club. It's the elite club in Vancouver. It was called the Star Chamber because so many judges and lawyers were involved in it, passing boys around, especially young boys. We have documented proof of limousines that go out to the Indian reservations in North Vancouver, pick up the children from the Squamish Reserve, bring them to the back of the Vancouver Club. That was well documented. But what happened is when we held our first tribunal into the Indian residential school genocide, that'd be in 1998, a lot of light was brought to bear on the Vancouver Club, and that's when they should be taking the children out onto yachts. And that's this 12 Mile Club now that operates. It's kind of their term for what they do. I've heard reference to the same group from cops, from people I know. I mean, you know, when you work on the streets and around Vancouver for 30 years, you learn all this stuff. Just like you learn from a lot of the young women working on the street, they know who the serial killers are. They know that they're usually RCMP members or policemen. And we have the names. We published all this stuff. Again, it's not the problem of evidence. It's a question of how you take these people down.
Incredible. And so because of that, you are moving to more of a direct action task force, right?
Yeah. Well, that's one of the things we're doing in Canada, especially, where there's this formal tie to the Crown. Well, the Crown of England is being legally disestablished under international law, as has the Vatican. It's a criminal body. And so we've been issuing stand-down orders, what are called revocation orders, to the police here. When the police come up to any of our actions and they start hassling us, we just hand them these things and say, you know, we're telling you to stand down from your oath of allegiance to a criminal in London, Elizabeth Windsor, and to take an oath of allegiance to operate with us under common law. And we're putting the police on the spot and saying, you got to start choosing what side you're on now. The same kind of thing's done in the States quite often with more success because, you know, you have more of a tradition there of locally elected county sheriffs and that kind of thing. But the same thing is starting in Canada.
So tell me, what is their general reaction when that occurs? I mean, what is the typical way in which they respond?
They never get aggressive. It confuses most cops because they've never taught this stuff. They're not taught about what the law really is, how it emanates from sovereign men and women. It doesn't come from the government. Mm-hmm. And their authority comes from us as well. So it gets them thinking. Usually what happens is they look at it and they think about it and they either stand aside or they go away. I've had that happen to a number of times because they're taught that if they can't do anything that would cause them to be in hot water with the law themselves. They're not supposed to, you know, break the rules. And they start thinking, well, if this is something I haven't been taught, maybe I should check this out with my sergeant first. So it causes them to give pause. And don't forget, they're bonded officials. If they lose their insurance coverage, they'll lose a lot of money, and this is one of the Achilles' heels that we go after.
So we need to start doing that more, but of course, do you give guidelines on how the individual needs to not get too aggressive, you know, to make sure they're taking the higher path, right?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, we often hold, when we're holding training workshops into the common law, we'll invite this police to come down to it. They're in the States. They've had, you know, our network has held these workshops where local sheriffs show up with their deputies and they sit and they learn about the common law. That's our power, you know, getting the police at the local level on board with us and show them that what we're doing is lawful. It's not terroristic. It's not violent. It's none of that. It's just trying to reclaim the law for the people.
You know, you covered in one of your last interviews about medical emergencies that are considered by the government the ability to pursue detainments and arrests. I thought that was really interesting. Is that tied in also with just keeping us in a perpetual state of emergency? You know, how the government's always, okay, so that's part of it as well.
Well, it's also because of the close ties between the big pharma companies and the government and the churches. You know, and they need these regular false flags in order to boost the profits. That was proven. It was funny, after the swine flu snafu that went on, one of the top research scientists for Novartis, one of the big pharma companies that profited off the swine flu drug, he said, oh, it's what we call an angst campaign, where we get everybody afraid. It boosted our profits by $11.5 billion, and that was the purpose of it. So the top scientist admits that it was all a lie. And yet the government relies on people's very short memory. Now they're going after the whole Ebola nonsense. You know, they give it a year or two, and then they do it again, and a lot of people fall for it, unfortunately.
You know, I'm glad you brought up Ebola, because I've been in South Africa for about 2 months now. And I see the signs everywhere. They're warning the population here about the dangers of Ebola. People are kind of freaked out about it. But I have yet to find anyone that knows anyone that even has the symptoms or the issues with Ebola.
Right.
I mean,
We found with the swine flu that the only people who were sick from it were those who had been vaccinated. You know, so...
So it's just another attempt to try to, you know, pump people with nanotechnology, which is essentially what they're doing, you know, to control them even further.
Definitely.
Anyway, so I'd really like you to go over a little bit more on the latest with Ratzinger and Bergoglio. Any news on that front before I ask some other questions?
Well, there's another aspect of what's going on with the Vatican, which is about, you know, as they all say, follow the money. A couple of weeks ago, there was a new World Bank announced, the Asian World Bank, the BRIC nations, Russia, China, India, and Brazil, announced, they had a big press conference, Putin was there, everybody, you know, in that alliance was there. They announced the formation of this Asia Investment Bank, which was set up to rival the World Bank. Now, what wasn't mentioned in that article is that a big funder of this is the Vatican Bank, which has been funneling a lot of money through, guess where, the Deutsche Bank, which is tied to Ratzinger and a lot of the German financial interests, that really Nazi money coming out of the war. The Vatican Bank has been channeling a lot of its money into the Russia-China bloc. So this explains, you know, part of geopolitically why the West is so determined to keep the Vatican on board with it. You know, you noticed Obama and Queen Elizabeth, they all made trips to Rome recently to see the Pope. It's part of the bigger context, and, you know, it's why there's kind of a whole perpetual damage control mentality going in Rome these days. Because really it's a faction fight. There's a faction around Ratzinger, which is, who really is still the Pope in charge. Bergoglio is a figure. I mean, he doesn't even wear the papal ring. He doesn't even live in the Vatican. He was put in there as the distraction. But Ratzinger and the Germans in the Vatican are still very much calling the shots. And they're, like Germany, they're orienting more to the east. And that's kind of part of the bigger context here.
That is so fascinating. Now, apparently Bergoglio fired a whole commission that was responsible for investigating the Vatican Bank. Have you heard any kind of upshot into what's going on there? Has anybody taken any kind of responsive reaction to that? Maybe set up another investigative team?
Well, the reason Bergoglio did that, according to some Rome reports I spoke to, is it reflects that struggle between him and kind of the old guard in the Vatican. He's tried to load the cushion with Latin Americans. Now, part of the reason to do that is to protect his own ass, because he knows his involvement in child trafficking in Argentina, the stuff I mentioned earlier, that's all beginning to come out. His partner in crime, the head of the Jesuits, Adolfo Pichon, has already resigned. He's the fourth top Vatican official to resign after being indicted by our court.
Easy.
You know, and so, yeah. Well, when you look at it, first of all, Ratzinger did, of course, after our conviction of him. Cardinal Tarcisio Bertone, who was also named in our indictment on our first court case, he resigned after Bergoglio came in. Sean Brady, the Cardinal of Ireland, resigned 2 days after I went on a Dublin radio program and talked about his involvement in covering up child abuse as a young priest, where he was forcing Irish children to sign statements that they were ever raped when they had been. He resigned 2 days after that. And then this fourth case, of course, is the head of the Jesuits, which has never really happened before. He's the guy in the church, and he announced he was stepping down. You know, this recent ritual slaughter that happened of a child in Jesuit headquarters in Rome, they know that this stuff's all coming out.
I would imagine this doesn't make you very popular in Ireland, does it?
Well, no. Not in certain quarters, although...
It's no laughing matter, well, Kevin,
Well, it was interesting. I was scheduled to go to Ireland, as you know, a couple of months ago. And one of the people who's a source of ours in the Irish police, the Garda, that there's a standing request for the British government to extradite me to England for trial if I ever come into Ireland. Now, they've done that before. The Irish government has extradited IRA suspects and others to England. They have a joint agreement with the Brits. So it's not the safest place for me right now, any more than England is. But on the other hand, there's more. We have best response in England and Ireland almost than anywhere in the world. There's a lot of volunteers getting on board now with this whole movement of ours.
So it's backfiring on them, and we're so grateful that you are alive and safe. So I'm glad you're just kind of hunkering down right now, Kevin.
Well, that was kind of under strict advice or orders. I mean, I was, you know, planning to just go. Anyway, but I guess it's, I don't know, discretion, the better part of valor, whatever they're saying is.
Well, hey, you know, what good are you going to do if you're dead, right? You've got too much more work to do. So, okay, now I found what I thought was just a pearl of information about the Deutsche Bank. And I was wondering, did you hear any other scuttlebutt about the Deutsche Bank lawyer that was found dead in a New York suicide?
And I didn't know the details. Several of the Deutsche Bank directors resigned recently, well, because they were involved in the whole a number of different money laundering scandals going on with the Vatican Bank. But I hadn't heard about that, the details.
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting. Apparently he was probing into the regulations, the banks over allegations. So I thought, wow, you had just dropped another piece of information about the Deutsche Bank, and here they are again in another scandal. That happened on the 25th of October.
Right. Well, maybe he was finding out stuff they didn't want him to know. I mean, you know, it's don't forget they launder the Deutsche Bank, the Vatican, they're big money launderers for 'Ndrangheta. It's a huge criminal syndicate. I mean, It's the word. It's not the old Sicilian mafia. It's the more recent modern mafia from the mainland of Italy. 'Ndrangheta, give you an example, in Holland alone, they pull in between 40 and 50 million euros a month just from drug dealing. Okay, so you multiply that, they own half the politicians and cops in Europe. And, you know, it's the banks that launder drug money, I mean, they're all the major banks. HSBC Bank was fined $1 billion by the U.S. government for laundering Mexican drug cartel money. J.P. Morgan, you know, the Jesuit Bank, Citibank, And where there's drug laundering money, there's child trafficking going on. That's, they go hand in hand.
Mm. So it's just all, the whole entire network is just rotten to the core. And they're starting to get busted right, left, and center, it seems like. You know, this was another article I ran into. It says a scandal-ridden Catholic diocese in Italy where priests posted naked photos of themselves on gay websites, raided church coffers, and sexually harassed parishioners is to be investigated by a special envoy to Pope Francis. You know, it just never stops. I mean, every time I go up there and blog or research anything to do with the Catholic Church, there's always another sexually related, deviant sexually related article.
Yeah, well, you know, it's nothing new. And you know, the amazing thing, kind of generally why people can even go to any of these churches anymore when they know all this stuff, besides the human tendency to deny what's right in front of your face. Mm-hmm. But reading history, I mean, this has been going on out of Rome for thousands of years. I mean, it's a continuation of the debauched, you know, satanic Roman Empire. I mean, what they used to do is in no way different than what the popes do nowadays. So it's, you know, it's not like it's ever really changed. I like Harry Truman saying, he said, the only thing new in the world is the history you didn't know about.
And that's pretty much covering it for all of us on the planet, because most of us don't really know much of anything. Even when we read and research, we find out that's all a lie.
Right. Well, you got to do your own research. And that's the power of what I'm doing, is that it's all the result of 20 years of on-the-ground original research, and it can't be denied. Otherwise, I would have been put in prison or sued years ago, and I've never been.
Yeah, you've done an outstanding job. Thank you, Kevin. So what is the latest with the whole BRICS nations and them starting up that new bank? Have you gotten any more information as far as the Vatican's ties with that? Have they been exposed? Because after I heard your last interview, I did a little bit of research on that, and I was very surprised to see that many smaller organizations, small groups, even within the Catholic Church, were really doing their best to stifle the involvement of the Vatican within the Asian arena.
Well, definitely, because it's part of the they're looking at to the Asian world to bail them out financially and vice versa. You know, they're scratching each other's back in a big way. For example, President Putin came out the other day and applauded the Pope for all his great reforms. I mean, you're doing this this neutralization thing going on, but it was interesting. I did an hour-long interview with Russia Today. It's their main television station out of Moscow.
Yeah.
And the reporter was enthusiastic. He loved it. And then the producer cut it. They never aired the program. And the producer said, anyone who would accuse the Vatican of killing people has to be insane. Well, doesn't the guy read history?
Yeah, no kidding. And, you know, I've heard that before about the RT.
Yeah. Well, no, they're an arm of the Russian government, and they're cozying up to Rome. And, you know, that was another example of it. But, no, it's part of this kind of new bipolar geopolitical climate where you've got the Eastern Bloc versus the West. And it's that new Cold War ripping up.
Hmm. Oh, God. So, you know, it sounds to me like we have made progress, right, as far as being able to expose the fact that this has become a commonplace thing. I mean, the more types of queries that you're receiving, are you beginning to feel that those that maybe were hardcore Catholic that were contacting you, are the lights really coming on? Are they really starting to connect the dots that this is all part of the big network of the cabal, the Illuminati, the Vatican, et cetera? It goes all the way up.
I think some are. I think there are definitely been some people who have even left the Catholic Church over what we've taught them. But it's a small minority. And in fact, you know, I always like to go engage. I'll go stand outside a Catholic church and just hand out this stuff and see the reaction. People are still large. The people in the pews are just still ignorant as they've ever been. They don't want to hear this stuff. It's their little club. They don't want to be disturbed. So we're not really even looking to convert the minority, or the majority. It never requires that the majority get on board. You reach a critical mass with even 5%, and the walls come tumbling down, you know. And that's been proven historically time and again. So we're out for that, you know, that remnant who are able to act as the catalyst to bring about this. You know, these institutions, we see them falling as we speak. So, I mean, that's what I focus on. I don't really even worry anymore about what most people are thinking. It's that enlightened minority that we're reaching, and they are definitely coming on board more.
Do you feel that the majority of the progress is going to come from ties within the U.S. and England and Canada, or do you feel that there's really some major progress in your Italian networks?
Italy is a really hard nut to crack because it's a theocratic state. The church is in charge there. It's even in charge of the courts in Italy. Judges can't make a decision involving the church without consulting the local bishop. I mean, it's that extreme. So it's a hard environment for people to operate in. You know, I found the first time I went to Rome, I was talking to people about the genocide of native people, and they all love that. The Italians love to hear about Indians, right?
Right.
North American Indians, they have kind of a romanticized view of them. As soon as I mentioned the Pope and the Vatican, all the support shuts down. We had two political parties working with us. They shut the door on us as soon as we mentioned the Pope. And, you know, that's a sign of the way it is over there.
Well, that's too bad. I was hoping that you guys could kind of crack that nut a lot faster.
Well, the thing is, Alexandra, every political party in Italy, as in the United States and Canada, they're all funded by the Vatican. All the churches are. The World Council of Churches, which is supposed to be the Protestant kind of equivalent of the Vatican, it's like the assembly of all Protestant churches in the world, they're funded out of Rome. They will not post any of my stuff. I'm blocked from the World Council of Churches site, even though it's nominally Protestant. I mean, their tentacles reach everywhere in all the main institutions.
So basically there's no difference at the top, is what you're saying. I mean, does that reach all the other religious factions? Have you ever done any research on that?
Yeah, I mean, the funding is, it's so widespread that they even fund the Bible societies to make sure that certain words in the Bible are not translated in a way that the Vatican wouldn't like. You know, the classic one being, what is said, Peter, on him I will build my church.
Yeah.
The word wasn't
yeah.
It was congregation. That's what got William Tyndale burned at the stake when he translated that in the 1500s in England in his English Bible, in the Geneva Bible. He said, he did the direct translation saying, Jesus said assembly or congregation of people, not church, not big institution, but small groups. And they, in every Bible today in the world, except the Geneva Bible, it says church. Now, why would it when the word is ecclesia, which in Greek is assembly or congregation? You know, this is an example of, the settlement they do to keep their ideology kind of predominant, which is basically one world government, one world church, one ruler for all. That corporatist ideology came out of Rome. That's what the Vatican is really.
Well, do you see any locations, you know, starting to unwind? I mean, I know there's information coming out. People are starting to step forward. You know, there's definitely more awareness in certain circles, such as the spiritual community, et cetera, the conspiracy community, for sure. But, I mean, where are you seeing them getting hit the hardest?
I would say in the area of just general public exposure. The media, the corporate media, is now even beginning to pick some of this stuff up. Our latest announcement about this Canadian cabinet minister connected to the Ninth Circle sacrifice in Rome, that's being picked up by British newspapers. Now, that didn't happen before. There's a journal in London that circulated it widely. And the very fact that they're doing that, I believe they've come across their own evidence independently to prove that, yes, this stuff is going on. We can't deny it anymore. It's like what happened in Canada about genocide. After 10 years of publishing this stuff, finally they began to acknowledge, oh, yeah, okay, thousands of children have died. You just push long enough, and they have to acknowledge. Of course, they're taking countermeasures to cover it up all the time. But the point is that they can't deny it anymore. There's been that kind of shift going on.
Wow, that's awesome. Now, this Carl Godvin, I think you said he was an Eastern Indian inspector out of the Ottawa police that was shot. Has there been any further investigation on the results of, you know, what exactly happened? You know, what was the whole story behind that?
For the listeners, Kel Godvin was a Ottawa policeman. He was head of the human trafficking unit in the Ottawa police. And on August 15th, a special action unit went to Montreal and stopped the planned sacrifice of two children by the Ninth Circle in a home in Westmount, which is a wealthy French area of Montreal. Kel Godvin and Montreal policemen helped that unit, gave information identifying where this house was. In the house, they found all sorts of, you know, remains of children's clothing. It was definitely one of these sacrificial spots. Kel Godvin also knew about this cabinet minister's involvement with the Ninth Circle, Denis Lebel. We believe he was going to press against this cabinet minister and Cardinal Lebel, which would have really brought down the Canadian government. And we believe that either the government or Drangheta killed him. The official reason for his death was he committed suicide after an incident in the station at 1 in the morning. Well, he was a happy, well-married man with three children, top officer in the force. He had no reason to kill himself. We believe he was killed, you know, to cover up that what he knew about Drangheta and his connection to the Canadian government.
It's such a shame. But I hope that all of us can honor him for the fact that he stood up for what he thought was truth and what was justifiably correct and the defense of a small young boy. You know, he wasn't looking in the other direction saying, oh, I'm going to pretend like I don't know that this garbage is going on.
And we, you know, someone's death is always an inspiration. It's almost like their spirit then enters into other receptive hearts and minds. And there is on, you know, we've had indication already that this has really troubled people in Ottawa, in the police there. I've had actually a call from a policeman in the area saying that he was really shaken up when he found out what really happened to Kel Godvin. So, you know, rest assured, this will carry on. Others will carry it on, inspired by heroes like that.
Well, and I would encourage all the listeners, any of you Canadians that are listening to us, please do us the favor, do the world the favor of taking some local action and writing some letters to the Ottawa Police Department and actually asking them to look more deeply into this, investigating, being their ally, being their fellow brother in arms, so to speak. You know what I mean, Kevin?
These revocation orders, the stand-down orders to the police and tell them, look, stop serving these criminal bodies. Come on board with us. And, you know, we know if people have the courage to take that one step, you know, there'll be several people stepping towards you in response. We know that from experience.
I really agree with that. And, you know, police stick together, and especially when one of their own is injured or killed in this particular case, they're going to start digging. And if they all unify, then they have a lot more power. So if the people step up and start corresponding with them, this is a perfect time to do it. So I'm just putting that out there to everyone. So is there anything else that you can fill us in on? Not that that isn't enough.
Well, I mean, these recent revelations about how the Ninth Circle is operating in Canada is really important because it ties into a lot of the historical research I've done for 20 years about how they were active in the Indian residential schools. We know that it's the child sacrificial things were going on in the Indian boarding schools. That's a connection I'm going to be working on over the next little while. And, you know, I think maybe in future interviews as well, Alexander, we can delve into kind of the spiritual aspect of this, the darker significance of why this stuff is going on.
Oh, that'd be outstanding. Yeah, I would definitely love to do that. Because I know that everyone out there, they're just so much supporting your work, Kevin. And I think all of us are starting to feel, you know, more cosmic energies are entering the planet. We're getting really inspired to start stepping into our roles into our missions, into our purposes in a big way. I know people are just craving that right now. So if we can connect the dots with what's actively occurring as far as the exposure, and maybe give people some suggestions as to, you know, how is this connected spiritually, and how can you go from here? You know, just in your own little bedroom while you're looking at a computer, what can you do? I think that would really help all of us.
Well, yeah, that's the bigger purpose in all this, Alexandra. I know from my own experience, I found my real identity, not just my purpose, but my real identity, my soul. And we're magnificent beings of light, and we discover that being, and once we do, nothing can defeat us. And they know that, and that's what they're afraid of.
I totally agree. And the more of us that are on board, understanding that we have each other's back, and that we are an invincible force, because there's so many more of us than there are of them. And their days are numbered anyway, Kevin. Things are really coming to a head now. I know with some of the work I've done, my little piece of the pie here in South Africa has been unbelievably a game changer for the planet. I can say that with confidence.
I look forward to hearing that when we speak more.
Yeah, yeah. So now what I'm really excited about is the Republic of Kanata and what that actually is going to indelibly affect the world. So tell us the latest on that.
Well, it's coming out of the disestablishment of the Crown of England. There's a whole movement across Canada to establish a republic, just like there is in England. There's a founding convention, a constitutional convention, in January 1st to 4th in Winnipeg, which is in the center of the country. And we're convening people to establish a constitution to provide a political framework for the establishment of these common law courts. In America, they have that in their constitution. The right of jury trial, common law jury trial, is right there in the Sixth and Seventh and Eighth Amendments in the Constitution. Whereas in Canada, we don't have anything like that. But we need that. We can only have it through a republic that's constituted by the people. And so that's going to happen in January. And after that, it's going to give a real boost to a lot of this work, because we'll be able to say now, we're not part of Canada anymore. We're our own nation, literally, and join up. So, I mean, that's really exciting, and it'll set an example for people in England especially, and other in Australia, they're trying the same thing. Other so-called Commonwealth countries, you know, we're bringing down the empire, just like you guys did in 1776.
You know, another thing that I want to say to the audience, which is really important, is there are many people out there that hear this, and they get excited, but then they say, well, you know, first of all, it's never going to happen. Or, wow, that sounds really good, but, you know, the actual establishment isn't going to allow it to unfold. And here's the thing. We are at a place of manifestation. We literally are manifesting as quickly as we are thinking. And we are being challenged at this point to stop the way we've been programmed to think. Each and every one of us, especially those that are aware, we really have an onus right now to be very, very diligent and very aware of the thoughts that we have. Because I really firmly believe the people that typically listen to your interviews, my interviews, the people out there within the UFO conspiracy and spiritual networks, we are writing the news story. We really are. And this, yeah, it's a huge responsibility. And so we have to kind of sharpen our knives a little bit. We have to really sharpen our skills as far as how we are thinking of ourselves and also of our world around us. This republic, in my opinion, it's one of the most important things that could be going down right now.
Right. Well, you know, and we reclaim our mind before we can reclaim anything else. And we've been taught for not just in this life, but in generation after generation to think as slaves. Slaves worry about whether something's legal. They worry about getting permission. They worry about whether they're going to be safe or not. But that's not who we are. We don't have to worry about any of those things.
I agree. And you know, that has so much to do with the grid around the planet, which has been dissolved and is being dissolved in many ways by a lot of light workers, including myself. So I just really want to put that out there to all of those that are listening. Some absolutely groundbreaking, life-changing, game-over stuff has gone down in the last couple months. Trust me when I say that. We really, truly are on our way home. So it's now up to us. We can't just sit back anymore and talk about our quantic activity and the dark to this and the dark to that. We really have to start unifying and taking action. This is one way we can do so. Get excited about the Republic of Kanata. Yes, it might be the next country over from wherever you live, but you can take those ideas and you can start doing that within your own country. And think of how much that can open up your life and the people you'll meet and the things you'll learn and how much you'll expand your mind and those around you. And then when you're doing that, you're expanding the world.
Right. Now, let me also mention that the Republic does have a website. It's www.republicofkanata, that's spelled K-A-N-A-T-A, republicofkanata.com.
Fantastic. So is there anything anybody can do at this point to assist with the campaign of the Republic?
Yeah, well, you can write to republicofkanata@gmail.com, and they're based in Winnipeg, the organizing committee. Also, we have a lot of observers coming from America to the convention. There's people in the Restore the Republic movement who are going to come up to advise and observe. We don't recognize the border, really. That's an imperial creation. And so we do a lot of the work these days with people in the States. So, you know, we're helping each other all down the line.
Well, when I mentioned that, I was thinking more in terms of, are there any particular areas that they're needing more help than others?
Well, getting the information out, there is, for example, a draft constitution and statement of principles being adopted, worked on right now. If people write to republicofkanata@gmail.com, they can get that material, look through it, add to it. There's policy commissions being set up. Like, what do we want our country to look like? What is its economy going to be like? How are we going to live together? Policies towards family and the land ownership and the environment and all that. All of that's being debated. So get on board with that discussion with us and, you know, apply it in your own life and talk to your neighbors about all this stuff. This stuff is always built from the grassroots up.
And I think the most exciting thing is, no matter who you are out there, if you have any kind of background or experience in anything, it's going to apply. So
it's a way to kind of imagine our world, and that's exciting.
Yeah, it's totally exciting. Well, so I have run out of questions, but I just want to make sure that you've been able to cover everything you wanted to put out there today.
That's a good update, Alexandra, and I know we'll talk again soon, and I do want to get into more, you might call it the arcane aspects of this, the things that are not so obvious, but I definitely want to talk about that more. So we'll do it again soon.
Sounds good, Kevin. Thank you so much for doing such an on-the-fly thing. And I just want to apologize to everybody if the sound conditions of this interview aren't in, you know, perfect shape here. It's just because I'm still overseas, and that will be ending soon. So, thank you, everyone. If you have any questions, feel free to visit our website at galacticconnection.com/daily-blog. And you can see Kevin's information there on a very regular basis. So, Kevin, we really appreciate your help. Everybody, please support him as much as you can. And, Kevin, you do take donations, right?
Yeah, at itccs.org, there's a PayPal button. People can donate there. And it goes towards paying the travel and research funds. So thank you.
Okay, sounds good. Well, you take care, and we will talk to you soon. Okay, bye-bye. Thanks, everyone. Hi, everyone. This is Alexandra Metters of GalacticConnection.com, and tonight is November 26, 2014. I have an on-the-fly interview with Kevin Annett to review some of the major events that have been going down at his headquarters at itccs.org. And for those of you that do not stay abreast of Kevin's background, he is a community minister, a human rights consultant, and also the field secretary for the International Tribunal into Crimes of Church and State. Many of us know his amazing amount of work done to expose the Vatican and the Catholic Church and several of the other churches and organizations involved in child sacrifice, as well as ritual sacrifice. So with that said, if you'd like to check out more information regarding Kevin and his work, you can go to itccs.org. And today we have several events that have been brewing within the walls of Kevin's office, one being the YouTube removing the historic postings on the evidence presented regarding child trafficking of the Ninth Circle rituals and the 12 Mile Club. We also have evidence that's been put forth of 150 exhibits that has forced Pope Benedict to resign. We have the response to the evidence, which has catalyzed the relocation of the Vatican's Ninth Circle headquarters. And most importantly, I can't wait to hear about this, we have the stand-down order that Kevin has worked with the common law presentation of issued to Kinder Morgan against the arrests of many people that are protesting against Kinder Morgan and the pipeline. So with that said, I want to say hello to Kevin. Hello, Kevin. How are you? This is actually the night before Thanksgiving, Kevin, which I don't think you guys celebrate in Canada, right?
No, that's because we have less to give thanks for here up in Canada.
Well, I don't know about that. I am so impressed with the Canadians. I mean, we really need to follow suit with the amount of dedication that they're showing up there at Burnaby Mountain, and I can't wait to hear more about that. But can you give us an update on the removal of the postings from YouTube?
Right. Well, this is at itccs.org, a story that broke. These things are, cumulative, Alexandra, like one thing will lead to another. And what the story basically was, the Canadian government, the Prime Minister Stephen Harper, one of his senior cabinet ministers, was seen by an eyewitness as taking part in a child sacrificial ritual in Rome. Last February 22nd, with a Quebec Archbishop Gerald Lacroix, who was turned into a cardinal that same day at a ceremony of Pope Francis conducted. And it was an official Canadian government delegation. That same night, at midnight, this child was sacrificed only a block from the Jesuit headquarters in downtown Rome, probably half a mile from the Vatican. And it was one of these Ninth Circle rituals. Our evidence of that, including a description from the person who was present, and other sources, was put up, and within 24 hours, YouTube had taken it down. That had never happened before. YouTube claimed there was a defamation complaint. That had never, occurred on any of our sites before. Even when we posted evidence of genocide in Canada and murders going on right there, that hadn't been taken down. But the mention of that Harper cabinet minister, Denis Lebel, and his ties with the Vatican, and the Ninth Circle, that is, definitely caused a reaction, which I would say is an admission of guilt.
Yeah, no kidding. Now, have they actually been able to get them to repost it, or is it still off of YouTube?
Alfred Weber reposted it at his ExoPolitics site, and okay. I can send you a link for that. But so it has been, and he said, as a matter of fact, it's been one of the most read postings at ExoPolitics in a long time.
Yeah, go ahead and send it over to me, and I'll put it up on Galactic Connection as well.
Okay.
So you're really making some progress. Now, tell us a little bit about the 150 exhibits that were put forth that forced Pope Benedict to resign. Talk about major news.
Right. Well, this is hasn't been released in complete form yet, and until recently. You can read it all at itccs.org. What it is, Alexandra, it's about nearly 4 hours of the videotaped testimony of documents, eyewitness statements, and others that proved that genocide had occurred in Canada because of a deliberate plan by church and state set up by the Jesuits, enabled by the Church and Crown of England, to basically exterminate over half the native population under the pretext of these religious schools. That's the that verdict in that case came out during the same two-week period that Joseph Ratzinger resigned as Pope Benedict. And we know there's a direct relation now, the two, because the Spanish government was on the verge of issuing an arrest warrant just before Benedict resigned. So, you know, it all has an effect. There have, in fact, been four top officials, including the head of the Jesuits, who has stepped down after being named in indictments of our court. So, you know, these things are definitely having an impact and are encouraging insiders to come forward now, you know, at an increasing rate.
God, that's fantastic. Now, what would you consider to be some of the most damning evidence, you know, as far as bringing this resignation to the forefront?
Well, there's two things that stand out. There's copies of letters that Joseph Ratzinger signed ordering bishops in America and Ireland and Canada to not only not tell the police when children are being raped, but specifically to actively protect child rapists, including in, apparently his own brother, who is a bishop of Munich. You know, so, I mean, this was clear evidence. Another pieces of evidence had to do with the fact that in the Indian boarding school system in Canada, the massive death rates of over 50% had begun in the very first year of the operation of the schools. This shows clear intent to wipe out children. It wasn't the result of, you know, bad conditions developing over time that were then fixed, which is the official line. These were killing centers from the very beginning, and these documents prove it.
Wow. I mean, the pomposity just blows my mind.
Yes.
Unbelievable. And so now what about the relocation of the Vatican's Ninth Circle headquarters? That's really interesting. Talk about submission of guilt.
Well, that was referring, I believe, to the situation in Vancouver.
Right.
Where there was a thing people have known about for many years called the Vancouver Club. And it's still in operation. It's kind of the elite businessmen's club in downtown Vancouver. There was a trial lawyer named Jack Cram who tried to bring a case against three Supreme Court judges who were all members of the club. And Jack Cram claimed he had photographic evidence of these judges with young boys. Jack Cram got arrested when he tried to introduce that court stuff in a Vancouver court in April 1994. They put him in a psych institute. They stole all the evidence out of his office. They disbarred him, and that was it. But over the years, other people came forward who had actually seen children brought into the Vancouver Club. We first began to highlight that publicly in 1998 at our first tribunal about residential schools. After that, apparently the activities of the, you know, the child trafficking there moved out onto private yachts off the coast of Vancouver. And took the name, and these, again, this is from insiders and police and others, took the colloquial name the 12 Mile Club because that refers to the territorial limit around Canada. Basically, these yachts go outside the 12 Mile limit. They're in international waters, and they dump the bodies there. They dump the bodies of the children who they rape and kill. And it's interesting because recent stories have come out in the Vancouver media about body parts floating up on Vancouver beaches, including small feet and tennis shoes, things like that, right? Dismembered corpses, in other words.
Right.
And so, I mean, you know, this stuff is all surfacing, literally.
And, of course, it's dismembered, which shows, well, of course, that could be a shark, but...
No, not the way, I mean, I've read these stories, and they're cleanly cut. They weren't chewed apart by fish.
Okay, so, which shows, you know, ritualistic deaths.
Right, just like in the mass grave of 800 children in Tuam, Ireland, at the Catholic children's home there, that came out recently. In the cistern, there were a lot of dismembered bones, according to police sources. And these had been, this is what you do. You kill, you ritually dismember the child, you consume their flesh and blood. That's a standard kind of satanic operation.
Now, Kevin, tell me, when they're consuming flesh, I mean, is this the muscles, the organs? I mean, what exactly are they doing?
Well, according to people like Toos Nienhuis, who was a child, her father, as kind of a loyalty test, you have to bring your own child into this ritual and rape them yourself.
Oh, my God.
And then you pass, And then the child is used, by that time the child is, you know, multiple personality, they're completely messed up. And, you know, they go through years of therapy in order to even recover any of these memories. But Toast remembers under hypnosis, and in her description of seeing these things happen, yeah, they eat the whole child, basically. Often these are young children, they're expected to eat the whole, now obviously not the bones and everything, but it's all part of the ritual and the test. If people can't participate, they're usually killed on the spot, according to Toast.
Wow. I'm like speechless. Well, tell me a little bit, has there been any update on the Choom situation as far as the investigation goes there?
Well, yeah, like they did in Canada and other countries, the perpetrators get together and they do their own investigation of themselves. They say there's going to be, you know, Catholic Church said, oh, we're going to look into our records and see what we find. We're going to have a memorial to the children. They don't talk about prosecution. They don't talk about surrendering those responsible, of course. There is a group that in Galway, in the West Country there where Choom is located, I'm in touch with some people there who want to convene a common law court. Unfortunately, they're kind of waiting for me to show up to get it going, which is not good.
Yeah.
Why they can't do it themselves, I'm not sure. But there is that initial trepidation people have about confronting the state and the Catholic Church, especially in a country like Ireland. But, no, we have hopes that there will be a big light shone on that, and other people like these police members there who gave us that information about the dismembered bones. We know more people will come forward once we start doing work there more.
Good God. So what about any updates with the current situation within the Vatican? Have you heard any of the latest news with their reactions to all of this going down?
Well, I mean, it's not just the usual song and dance about trying to distract, you know, Bergoglio will announce, you know, they've just defrocked another priest who raped somebody. It's, like I say, it's to point out the scales of the dragon and not look at the whole beast, so to speak. But we did get an interesting news item yesterday that the Pope had gone to Strasbourg in France for a 4-hour special meeting with Russian diplomats, and then he flew back to Rome. Now, we think that has to do with the transfer of Vatican money into the BRIC bank that Russia is so heavily involved with through the Deutsche Bank and other, you know, Vatican outlets. We know there's a lot of Vatican money going into the BRIC nations, and that could be part of it.
That's really interesting. And I know that they've really been positioning themselves with the Asian countries as well, correct?
That's right. You know, this new, I think it was announced last month, that there's this rival to the World Bank being set up primarily with money from India and China. But, again, Vatican money is coming in through the back door, apparently, and Russia's playing a role in that. So, you know, it's part of that, you know, you follow the money thing. But there's other stuff related that came out as well, too. In her latest interview, Anne-Marie von Billenberg, who is, you know, present at these virtual killings and that, she has a source very close to the royal family in Holland, this King Willem and Queen Maxima. Queen Maxima is an Argentine. Her name is Maxima Zorguieta. And her father was in the military dictatorship. He was agriculture minister under General Videla during the Dirty Wars in the late 70s, early 80s. She claims that she took a bribe to the present Pope when he was the Archbishop of Buenos Aires of €500,000 to get her ID changed, because apparently she was illegitimate, and to marry royalty, she had to get the proper kind of ID, etc. And she said, according to Anne-Marie, that she had personal dirt on Jorge Bergoglio, the present Pope, and his knowledge of the killings and torture going on. In fact, he was present in meetings when these things were being planned. Wow. So he's not simply somebody who turned a blind eye. He was an active participant. And, you know, so this is more stuff that's come out about the same Dutch royal family involved in these hunting of children, because they're both being participants there, according to eyewitnesses. They, you know, they have a direct and personal connection to the Pope. So, I mean, you know, the plot's getting more interesting as the days go by, you know.
That's incredible. Now, what about the Netherlands? Any news, updates on that?
Well, you know, it's the same area. The one important, oh, I forgot to mention this right at the beginning. There's a new tribunal formed. There's one of our sister organizations, it's called the Dutch People's Tribunal. And it was set up based on a lot of this evidence that Tose and Anne-Marie and others brought forward. You remember a Belgian politician who's a member of parliament, Laurent Louis.
Yeah.
And he's the man who stood up and accused the prime minister of being part of these child trafficking networks. They ignored his parliamentary immunity. They arrested him. They made sure he didn't get reelected. And now he's facing criminal prosecution and time in jail for having done this. He's actually helped set up with the Dutch People's Tribunal a commission of inquiry into covert harassment using, you know, the weapons used to harass people, electronically attack them, mm-hmm. directed energy weapons, and other, you know, the transhumanist agenda. This tribunal is being set up to look at that transhumanist agenda, and Laura Louis is planning to be the chief prosecutor in it. So this will get a lot of attention in Holland, and it'll tie in a lot of the work we do, since, of course, the child trafficking is part of this whole transhumanist, you know, plot to basically turn the human race into components of a machine.
Right. That's fantastic news. You know, it just goes to show you how spirit always uses, you know, whatever is the darkness, whatever appears to be the darkness, and turns it into something that's going to illuminate the world.
That's right. I mean, that's been my experience.
That's a perfect example. Yeah. That's fantastic. Now, how about as far as, you know, the movement itself, you know, all of the common law courts that are spreading across the world? Have you any information on additional groups being set up in other parts of the world?
Yeah, there's, again, recent postings about this at iccs.org. Two new groups, the Dutch People's Tribunal, and a new, in New Zealand, they've got a new common law network that's formed that's affiliated with us. It kind of goes in fits and starts. Like, the people in Australia and New Zealand are very well organized. We've got two regional organizers there that are actually setting up courts and going after especially police harassment of activists there. In Europe, there's a continual struggle to get this stuff going because of the level of harassment people are facing now. I mean, hence this covert harassment tribunal they're setting up. Really, a lot of good success is coming out of right here in North America. There's groups operating now in 31 states in the U.S. There's in Canada, there's, you know, where I'm speaking from on the prairies, there's new groups forming in association with Aboriginal communities. You know, to give you an example, when recently we were out in Western Manitoba and some Ojibwe people were telling about how the Canadian government is killing all of the elk in Rocky Mountain National Park because the elk are the food base of the surviving traditional Ojibwe people living off the land. More genocide, just wiping out like they did the buffalo, killing these elk from the air, wiping out the wild herds to drive Indians off the land onto welfare to destroy their culture. So this is, you know, examples that will be documented to show about this ongoing genocide. And, you know, stuff from Vancouver with the 12 Mile Club and all that. There's a convention we hope to convene sometime in 2015 to establish a republic in Canada, to sever ties with the monarchy. I mean, all of this stuff is happening, and it's a definite increase over, say, a year ago.
Well, and the Republic of Canada is just so huge. You know, that right there is really going to be creating an imprint, indelible imprint, across the world.
Yeah, and I mean, it's really stimulating, for example, Americans to realize that they have to recover their own republic. They have to recover the thing that has been sabotaged by the whole corporate agenda. And the way, you know, an increasing phenomenon you find in courts is you won't see flags in them anymore. These are private commercial courts operating in a de facto manner. The judges rewrite court records. They act in a completely arbitrary manner. And now these common law courts in America are beginning to actually bring indictments against judges, like in the case of mortgage fraud, where judges are being shown to collude with mortgage companies to grab farmers' lands illegally for kickbacks. I mean, all of that's being documented, and this is some of the stuff the American common law courts will be working on.
You know, I want to also add from an etheric standpoint, I think you're aware, I just returned back from 60 days in South Africa, and I did a tremendous amount of spiritual mission work and ceremonial work and worked heavily with the galactic realm as well. And I can tell everybody beyond a shadow of a doubt that we must, especially those that are the light workers and the guardians listening to this right now as we speak, we must change our way of thinking, because it's game over. If we make a decision and we focus it with very dedicated intention, it's going to happen. It's going to manifest. And I just want everyone to know that these things are already starting to unfold. I mean, look at all the work that Kevin has done, and it's finally starting to really take off. You know, you're starting to see them scramble and, you know, move. I mean, just the fact, Kevin, that they are moving the location of their headquarters, that to me is just huge. And the fact that this network is continuing to be to grow and build and go across the United States. So I would highly recommend that you don't necessarily, if you can't get out and you don't feel comfortable getting involved in a group locally, you can etherically intend and focus and command that this be brought to an end, this diabolical faction that runs this world. So I just wanted to add that, because the cosmic energies are so much supporting us at this point. And, you know, one of the things that you just released as of today was the stand down order that is going to be that you have issued to Kinder Morgan. And I felt really excited about this piece of news myself. There's a lot of people that maybe are not aware of why this is such a hot potato. And first of all, I'm just curious, how was that stand down order received, by the way?
Well, it's actually directed at the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, who have been going in, and, you know, they're already a convicted criminal body. We know in the first case it was shown that the Mounties were acting at the direct behest of the Crown and the Vatican to destroy Native culture, to imprison, to track down Native kids when they ran away from these Indian schools, all of that stuff, a direct role in murdering Indians on a regular basis. So they're already a convicted criminal body. But right now, they're showing up at this peaceful protest on Burnaby Mountain and arresting people en masse for no reason. Obviously at the behest of Kindred Morgan, you know, the pipeline company. And all the neighborhood are outraged that this pipeline is going through a forested area. They're tearing down trees. And so what is being issued, actually it's going to be handed out tomorrow to the Mounties, is an order for them to stand down, saying that they're part of a criminal conspiracy, a convicted criminal body. Their authority is null and void, and they're going to be replaced by community common law peace officers. So it's not only a statement against the very people protecting these criminals in high places, but it's also a statement to the people themselves, saying, now you have to take over this job. You've got to police yourself. You've got to help us take back the law, take back our land. And it's got many very different dimensions to it. And it's going to cause quite a stir.
I agree. Now, I did want to ask you, for those that are not aware of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, I was reading up on them, and it said that, you know, they're very unique to the world, since they're a national, federal, provincial, and municipal policing body. Apparently, they basically provide policing service to the entire continent, or whatever you want to call it, country of Canada, including 3 territories, 8 provinces, and 150 municipalities. When I read that, I thought to myself, the fact that you're even giving them a stand-down order is probably going to be fairly historic. And I just wanted to know what your feelings were, because it's almost like they're equivalent to the United States FBI.
They're kind of like what the Queen is for the tourist agency in London. You know, the Mounties there with the mountain in the background, symbol of Canada. It's Canada, part of Canada's nice, squeaky clean PR image. But the reality is the RCMP was set up as the Northwest Mounted Police to destroy the Western Plains Indians, to clear 50 miles on either side of the railway as it went west. Their job was to exterminate the Indians. And they did that very effectively. They've acted as a national political police force. They're really a military body. They have their own courts. They operate outside the laws of Canada. And they can do whatever they want. I'll give you an example. It's a regular occurrence in Canada for Indians to be murdered outright by Mounties. You know, it's like the classic case when two Mounties took out their guns and put 13 bullets into a homeless Native man on the streets of Vancouver. This was when I was working there just a few years ago. You know, they empty and probably had to change the clip and keep firing into this guy. Target practice on a drunk Indian, right? They got they weren't prosecuted or anything. It's an example of the violence associated with them. They are the political, the, kind of like the military arm of the Crown in Canada. And they like I say, were at the forefront of the genocide, and that's why we've really gone after them as one of the chief agents of genocide, along with the churches and the government.
So why such an extreme, aggressive stance against the Indians?
They wanted the land. They wanted the resources.
So
they
had
to terrorize, and that's why you traumatize the kids, so they never want to speak their language or they self-destruct at age 40. You know, it's part of the whole genocide agenda. And, you know, the RCMP have been named numerous times, not only in our court indictments, but others, as having committed torture, crimes against humanity. But again, they're in power, or at least they have been up till now, and that's what we're trying to change.
That's amazing. Well, getting back to Kinder Morgan, I did a little digging on this, and I found a very interesting document about their earnings. Now get this, Kevin. Mm-hmm. For their third quarter earnings, they increased the distribution for the 53rd time since 1997. They produced $1.543 billion in earnings. It was a 10% increase over the third quarter of 2013. And apparently, it was a 40% increase from a year ago.
Incredible.
I mean, now, I want everybody to think about that. Hello? We're talking about free energy. We're talking about living with Mother Earth. Why would there be such a substantial increase in profits, right? And what I also found was that they, in the last year, they acquired Copano. I don't know if you've heard about them.
No.
They're a large... It was an acquisition made in Texas, and it cost them about $5 billion. So they're basically, what they're doing is little by little, they've been buying up other oil refining companies all the way down through North America so that they can set themselves up so that they can definitely get this pipeline made. Okay.
Right.
And one of the things I thought was interesting, too, is they talked about SACROC, which is another facility in Texas. It says here it's the largest and oldest oil field in the United States. Interesting. It utilizes CO2 injection technology. It recently began a significant expansion in the CO2 flooding to increase oil production. Well, then I did a little bit more digging, and I found that they're basically saying that now get this, this is pretty mind-blowing. They're saying that the request and the demand for oil has significantly declined. And this is due to, you know, the fact that people aren't making as much money and people are trying to be more conscientious with their conservation. And they said that, you know, the drop is quite significant. And yet what they're trying to sell to the public is that the request for consumption is up by something insane, like 20-30%.
Well, they could be telling the truth. The consumption is coming from China. You see, a lot of the oil and gas consortiums are tied into the Chinese and the BRIC nations. That's why the Vatican funding is going into the BRIC. That's the new markets opening up, you know, feeding the massive China and India populations. A lot of the mines and the resources in northern Canada are all being bought up by Chinese consortiums. The American debt is owned, a big chunk of it, by China.
True.
The Canadian government, there's all this talk about Chinese infiltration and monitoring of Canadian government. And, you know, it's it's clear that I believe Kinder Morgan, like others, are simply working for the Chinese interests in this kind of new bipolar Cold War struggle between, you know, Asia and the West.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's really the root of their mega profits and the big demand.
It's very interesting. Now, apparently Kinder Morgan's the third largest energy company in North America. Mm-hmm. And they're doing a ton of extraction of this tar, this oil sands or tar sands or what a lot of people call bitumen. And the reason I wanted to bring this up with you today is this is a very, very important topic for us to be aware of. You know, we all hear about oil spills, and we all immediately think of an oil company, you know, like Exxon or Mobil, okay? But in this particular case, these guys have something like 80,000 miles of, you know, pipeline all throughout Canada and the United States. Even, I think they might even reach all the way down into Mexico, but I'm not sure. And there is so much hot, you know, a lot of hot controversy, and that's the reason that so many people are protesting at the Burnaby Mountain. And I was wondering, I read just recently that there were like 140 arrests. Did you, you know, what?
Yeah, oh yeah, it's been really massive, and they've been beating people up. They're kind of stupid because this protest has got a lot of media play in Canada. There's this environmentalist well-known on the CBC named David Suzuki. His family members have been arrested. Suzuki went down there and raised shit with the cops. You know, I mean, they're dumb because it's bringing a lot of spotlight on them.
Yeah. I saw David Suzuki. He actually spoke quite eloquently and spoke quite calmly to the Mount police, but he was also very passionate.
Right. Well, you know, the thing is that these goon tactics by the Mounties are deliberate. And it's, you see it all the time in other situations, but it's all they know how to do, right? It's kind of like almost a metaphor for the system. When you get them, their backs to the wall, they start lashing out, you know, and we found that over the whole child trafficking thing, the residential school stuff. This is definitely provoking a reaction. Obviously, I believe they're being paid directly by Kinder Morgan and the Chinese to make sure these pipelines go through quick, because I don't think it's just oil and gas they're piping out. I think it's water from Canada. There's a whole North American Water and Power Alliance plan to divert the three main river systems in Canada down to the U.S. and probably over to China as well through pipelines. We're not sure yet.
Well, I did want to tell you on a good note, on the 18th of this month, the Keystone XL pipeline was derailed. So that's temporary, of course, but it did not get voted for. The Democrats were able to shut it down. So that's a little bit of good news. But you know, a lot of us really need to become aware of what they're talking about when they start bringing up oil sands or tar sands or bitumen, because apparently they've done laboratory research. They've determined that it contains three really nasty chemical toxic components. One is toluene, I think. Toluene? I don't know how to say it. It's very toxic to our nervous system and our kidneys. It causes birth defects with pregnant women. There's another one that's listed as a carcinogen for the nervous system as well. Isn't that interesting? And then a third one, which is trimethylbenzene, is a skin irritant, respiratory system, also central nervous system, causes drowsiness and headaches. And this was all found out accidentally, by the way, Kevin, because of the pipeline that broke in Arkansas.
Right.
And that same tar sand oil that came from Canada was in those pipelines. And someone took it away and did some analysis, because now here's the pomposity as well. They're claiming that whatever type of cocktail they have to use to extract this stuff, they're not at liberty to disclose it to the public.
Yeah, right. like they're not at liberty to tell people the contents of a cigarette.
Yes, exactly. And it's even so much so that the EPA gave an inadequate rating to the State Department on the pipeline's proposal. Right. The EPA even went there. So these protesters, just so everybody knows, they're really demanding that we have a right to know what's flowing around in our water resources. And this is so big because this is not just in the oil. They're actually revealing some really major issues with the pipes themselves, the fact that they have excessive bending. Here's a quote. It says, excessive bending, sagging, and peeling patches of field coating applied to cover damage on pipe about to be placed into the ground is a common problem. This is big. So I want everyone, please, support the Canadians. I mean, right on that they're standing their ground and they're supporting this whole interaction, especially apparently from what Kevin's saying, with a fairly hostile, you know, police force.
Crazy. Right.
So now you're issuing the stand down order tomorrow, right?
That's right. Some of our members are going up there. We're going to be filming it. They're going to be handing it directly to the Mounties. There'll be a copy sent to the RCMP superintendent in Ottawa. And we're thinking this is hitting them. We're just at the right time while the Harvard government's dealing with this Denny LaBelle exposure. So, you know, I mean, it's hopefully going to get a response.
That's awesome. And this is one of the other things that they are complaining about, Kevin, right, is the beautiful ecosystem that they would actually be impacting up there, right?
It's on Burnaby Mountain is mostly forested. It's where Simon Fraser University is located. And, you know, they've got to log out whole areas to do this. A lot of the local residents are upset, and they're down at the protest. I got this firsthand from my daughter, who's taking part, of course. You know, it runs in the family, I guess. But
imagine that.
Imagine her protesting. Look at that. But no, she was pretty adamant that these. She told me that the Mounties were just grabbing people for no reason.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Reign of terror.
Well, I think it's necessary to bring more exposure to how much this is a death ticket for humanity, because this is affecting millions of people. I just want everyone to understand that yes, this is up in Alberta, Canada, maybe up in that area. It's basically in the upper northwest corner, correct, of Canada.
Which, you mean the protest?
No. The actual Keystone pipeline, I thought, the big debacle, that was up there. And I know that most people are saying, oh, that's just up in Canada. You know, that's not my back door. But the thing is they're all connected. All of the pipelines are connected, and they move from Canada throughout the United States. So, you know, people need to be aware of this. And then, you know, we're not even talking about the cost of all the oil spills that have been going down. This is a really big deal. So anything you guys can do to support Kevin with the stand-down orders, support ITCCS.org, support the protesters that are up there, by all means, do it. In fact, there is, I wanted to ask you, Kev, there's an organization called the Caretakers. Have you heard about them?
Caretakers? No.
Okay, I thought you might want to contact them. They have over 600 donors that are assisting them with this protest, and they have over 100 environmental organizations supporting them.
That's good.
So I'm sure they would love to speak to you. And their whole premise is on how fossil fuel is not assisting the ecology of the planet. And, in fact, it's very detrimental to the future of humanity with our water and food supply.
Well, one of the things that, you know, we want to say to especially environmental groups is that in the common law court system, any issue can be adjudicated. They can bring, as a matter of fact, in the trial division in Brussels, they have three divisions, one for crimes against children, one for economic and social crimes, and another for crimes against the earth.
Oops.
And so, yeah, these are all interconnected, of course. But if, for example, people can bring charges against the corporate executives of Kinder Morgan, under common law, there's no such thing as limited liability, which is what corporations operate under. There's unlimited liability. Any corporate figure, any government, any pope, anybody can be tried for causing damages and can go to jail for it. So, we would encourage common law courts to be formed around these environmental issues as well.
God, that's great to know. Well, hey, no time like the present to dive into this. So I'm so grateful for the work that you're doing, Kevin. Is there anything else that you wanted to share with everybody tonight?
Well, just that, we're moving in, like I often say in other interviews, we're moving into a phase now where enforcement is the real issue. Like, we have the evidence, we have the convictions. Now the community has to be mobilized to, take back the land, take back our children, take back the earth from these predators in high office and the corporate interests behind them. We can all do that. We all need to do that. And we set an example, but now others need to pick it up. This is not a superhero movement. This is not a one-man show. This is many people involved if it's going to work. So I would just urge people to see itccs.org. Write to us, itccsoffice@gmail.com. And especially if you're in the U.S., contact us because we have a burgeoning common law movement there, like I say, in 31 states. I'm down there a lot. This is a lot of what I'm doing, as well as in Canada now. So just encourage people to get educated, but then act on it.
Yeah, and I would also say we, again, need to change the way that we think our actions will affect the world, because we are in a different environment now. There has been a tremendous amount of success for the light through all the various missions. I know a lot of what we accomplished in the 60 days I was in Africa, and it was totally a game changer. So we are really being supported tremendously now by the light, meaning not that they've never supported us before, but now they can actually access us. And the numbers have substantially declined as far as their minions versus ours. So keep that in mind, everybody. We want to really stand strong and stand united, and I think this is a really good opportunity to do so. This really hits home to everyone. We all drink the water on this planet. We all eat food that's grown in the soil, and this is just not Canada's problem. This is all across the world. What better way to get involved? So, Kevin, I'm looking forward to the next bits of updates, and I'm sure that we'll have another updated interview shortly. Kevin's been very busy.
We'll have to make up for lost time. We haven't had one in a few months. So.
I know. Yeah. And so anyway, please, if you would like to visit our daily blog, it's galacticconnection.com/daily-blog. And as always, we would greatly appreciate any donations that you're willing to provide us. We are a free service 7 days a week, providing the blogging, the interviews, and, of course, the missions. So I thank you all for supporting us and supporting Kevin. Do not forget to get involved. He's got quite a few things that are there just waiting for you to dive in. So, again, you can visit him at itccs.org. And I hope all is well. You guys take care. Kevin, is there anything else before I...
No, you just said it all, Alexandra. We'll talk to you very soon.
Okay, everyone. Have a great night and have a wonderful Thanksgiving. I love you all. Take care. Thanks for listening. Bye for now.